Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Grace Ranch.
Good morning.
First day of the week, of a big week for all of us. Amen?
Amen.
So let us join together in prayer. Father, we thank you for bringing all of us out here and for this wonderful opportunity you have given us to come and hear your word and learn how to walk it out. And I just pray, Lord, that you would incline our hearts and our minds and our ears to hear your word, to be attentive, to learn of you, Lord, that we may go forward and proclaim your gospel with boldness out there in the world. And we just pray that you bless this service in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Give the Lord a cheer.
Praise the Lord.
You all may be seated. We're turning to 2 Timothy chapter 3 this morning. It's a chapter many of us know well. Beginning with verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was.
Heavy words, strong words. They were strong then, they are strong now. They meant a lot then, they mean more now. Because more than ever have we come to that place where the spirit of Jannes and Jambres resides throughout the land and in the churches. Here at Grace Ranch, we even have such a one. But it will all come to light. Let me tell you, the time is dangerous. It's dangerous not because we have a Hitler walking around throwing us in camps, which may come to pass before too long, or not because we have Sharia law in place in our country, which, if some have their way, will come to pass, but because the preachers and the teachers that are in the pulpits today are not preaching the pure word of God. You want to see something that's interesting? The Lord showed me this years and years ago. You go into a church and just look around and look at the number of women versus the number of men. And when you see a church where the women far outnumber the men, you know there's something wrong. You see, God has given the man to be head over the woman because Eve was deceived. And it is easy to deceive a woman. No offense to you ladies. It's easy. If it weren't, none of us guys would have wives. Because when we meet you, we deceive the pure daylights out of you. Anything we can to get you to like us. But then again, you reciprocate and do the same thing. That's called dating. But the truth of the matter is, when you have a church that is run either openly or in the background by women, you have a church that's not standing on a firm foundation of the Word. Now some may say, Brother Davy, you hate women. No, I love them. I prefer women over men. I really do. But when it comes to the Word of God and the gospel, I have to go by God's line of authority. First, Jesus Christ, which is the head of the body, the head of all. Then you have your apostles, your prophets, your evangelists, your pastors, and teachers. In the body of Christ, this is like unto the nerves proceeding from the brain throughout the body. If you cut those nerves, that part of the body ceases to function. It stops functioning. And the head becomes useless. Well, when the church ceases to listen to the Lord and obey God through His line of authority, it becomes useless. Crime becomes rampant. Perversion becomes commonplace. You look at America today, I would have never dreamed back in the 60s or even back in the 50s that we would be where we are today. I would never dream of it. I can remember communism back then and hearing about how neighbors would spy on neighbors and report them to the secret police. And I'd say, God, can you imagine living like that? I don't have to imagine. We're there. We are there now. The help hotline, where you can accuse somebody of anything and never be called to account. Where a person can be accused of a crime and be considered guilty until he can prove himself innocent, and even then still have to pay for it the rest of his life. Who would have ever dreamed America could become like that? I can remember as a young person and as a child, it would have never occurred to me that I would have to pay for water. Never would have occurred to me. But today, you have to pay for water. And in some places, you may pay for the water, but it's not fit to drink. Now, what's that got to do with this? I'll tell you. Our country would not be like this if the churches did their job. If the ministers did their job and believed the Word of God and spoke the Word of God, there would be no homosexual marriage in this country. There would be no open homosexual parades. There would be no AIDS. The mere thought that Congress would consider passing laws to protect Islam would be unheard of. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's the church's fault. Jesus said, "Ye are the salt of the earth. Wherefore, when salt has lost its savor, it's good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men." And I'm telling you right now, Christianity in the churches today is worthless. People go into the churches bound up by demonic spirits, and they leave bound up by demonic spirits. They go in bound up in sicknesses, and they leave bound up in sicknesses. And the church says, "Well, it must be the will of God." That's what I've got to say to it. God made it very clear when he taught his disciples to pray. And in that prayer, "Let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Do you think what you're seeing out here on earth and in the churches is God's plan for you in heaven? Then why in the world would you think it's his plan for you here now? What's the matter with some of you people? If it's not his will for you in heaven, then by God it's not his will for you on earth. And why are you putting up with it? Why are the churches putting up with it? They're putting up with it because they are not serving God. They don't want to serve God. Steve, would you read Titus? No, read 2 Timothy.
Where do you want to read from?
Oh, chapter 3.
From the beginning?
Chapter 4.
Chapter 4? Over here. Read to my 1 Timothy 4. That's 3. That's right here.
2 Timothy chapter 3.
Okay. From verse 1 again.
Right.
"This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was."
You understand? He's not talking about people outside of the church. He's talking about people in the church that are part of the church and leading the churches. I mean, come on. I don't care how many people come to my services or listen to me on the radio or on the internet. Does that really mean I need a $35 million house to live in? Hello? $25 million is plenty enough. Just kidding. Jesus didn't promise us mansions here on earth. He promised us mansions in heaven. Here on earth, he said, let the raiment and the food be sufficient. Puts a roof over your head and gives you food so that you can serve him. But today, it's not so. People want God to serve them. And that's not what it's all about. You're not put on this planet so God can play. And I know I'm going to get in trouble for this, but I'm going to do it anyway. Nigger to you. See, I use a strong word because I want it understood. God's not our slave. He's not our nigger. He's our God. And we're brothers and sisters. It doesn't matter what color skin we have or where we're born. If we're of the children of God. I don't care where you're born. You can be born in El Paso. You can be born in Juarez. You can be born in Fabens. But you're not a child of God. You're not my brother. You're not my sister. And I swear you're too heavy. But it doesn't matter if you're born in Moscow or in North Korea or in Vietnam or China or wherever, if you believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and you seek to serve him, then you are my brother or my sister. And that's the name of that tune. The preachers today have got to learn to stand up. And if you're going to be the ministers that go out and preach the gospel, then by God, preach it right. Preach it right and preach it true. And reject those who reject the truth. Reject them. Oh, they'll tell you, oh, they don't love. Or, I don't get tingle when they speak. I had a preacher come up to me one time and he said, I don't get tingle. I said, go here. Gave him $20 bill. This was years ago now. Gave him $20 bill. I said, go give this to a prostitute. You'll tingle. Just because you get a tingle doesn't mean God's involved in it. Some of the best tingles I ever had, I'll guarantee you, God was not involved. Don't get me wrong. I love a good tingle from the Holy Ghost. But I'm not about to tell you that every tingle you get is from the Holy Ghost. It's serious. We're going to start this convention hitting the road on the ground tomorrow. Let's prepare ourselves to get our heads on right. We're not going to be part of the problem. We're going to be part of the solution. Because, see, believe it or not, I believe if a few people would really get it right, and start preaching the true word of God, that God will turn it around. If not, get ready for the church to be taken out and the Antichrist to be revealed and start the tribulation. It's up to us. It's up to you that are listening. What are you going to be? Salty or not? You going to be part of the solution or part of the problem? It's your choice.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I'm over here worshiping. I thought we had three or four more songs to go.
I could throw a couple more at you if you want.
We'll do a couple after this. How's
okay.
that? Well, welcome, everybody. It's nice to see everybody back together again. And those of you that are out there in the internet world, thanks for joining us as well. You know, let me back up. I was doing a lot of traveling right before a convention here. And we're driving around, and finally we're on our trip down here. All right? And when you're driving down here, you got a lot of time to think, you know? And I start reflecting, you know, on what choices I've been making over the last year. You know, where I am in the Lord, you know? And it was pretty cool. We had last year's ministers' convention on the fancy phone there, the iPhone. So we're able to listen to, you know, a good amount of the services and kind of bring back to memory those things which were preached, the commitments that many of us made, commitments that I made. And I looked back and I said, geez, have I followed through? Did I make the right choices in this last year? Now, I found myself a little deficient in some of these things. Well, maybe a lot, you know. But I made a commitment to myself and to the Lord that I would do better, that I would move forward, and I trusted His grace to cover me over that year. Now, a couple of the things that I remember from re-listening to these conventions is the big theme was endure hardness as a good soldier. And I remember it was a little bit of a joke because, you know, we're like, wow, this is hard. We got 3 meetings a day, and oh, boy, it's tough. But really, folks, that's the easy part. And that's the easy part. And the hard part is remembering everything, moving forward, trusting Him. It ain't easy when you're out there in the world and you don't have this fellowship, everybody standing shoulder to shoulder. But we have to endure that hardness if we want to be that salt that pushes back the corruption. We need to be a people that will stand. Davey was talking about the things that may be coming. That doesn't sound easy. We got to get strong. Now, the other thing, I remember the sermon that Davey gave about the dead cat. You guys remember that one? That was a good one. Many of us, in the after meetings and throughout the week, were talking about burying that cat and forgetting about it. Right? Leaving it there. Letting it die. Letting it rot. Now, over a year, I started wondering how many times did I go back and pull up that tail? How many times did you? It's something to think about, right? We're either going to put this stuff off, bury it and kill it, and move forward in Him, or we're going to keep going back. We cannot afford to keep going back. In that same vein, I remember, I think that was the first time we heard the song, Yes, Lord. Right? Great song. Right? We had people jumping and hopping and singing and dancing. Yeah, help me with it. It was, I'm giving all my shame. Right? I'm trading shame. I'm trading my sorrows for the joy of the Lord. Trading my sickness, trading my pain, laying it down for the joy of the Lord. How many of us actually did it? How many of us laid that down? How many of us made that trade? Sounds like a good trade to me. Does it sound like a good trade to you? Amen. Toward the end of convention, many of us received healing, deliverance, and other things from the Lord. We walked out of here whole, ready to move forward. How many of us laid that down, picked up that dead cat, and started walking? I mean, look, guys, we got a week. We're together. We can learn. We can grow. We can help one another. We can put this stuff off. Grab what the Lord has for us. He is at hand. He is right there. You just got to let go of the old. Move forward. And it's not about what you can or cannot do. Praise God. Right? It's about what he can do. It's about what the Lord can do in you and through you. Right? If you want to walk in his power, in his glory, in his love, just make the choice. Amen.
I don't know about you, but I think that song is kind of appropriate.
Praise the Lord. I want you guys to go back to where Brother Davey was preaching out of 2 Timothy 3 for a moment. And there's a few things I want to show you here. Talking about going forward. We talk about yes, Lord. We talk about these things. But how to do it, what I've observed over the years is we kind of struggle. How do we do it? And the Lord set up such an easy way to do it, folks. It's so easy. It's right here before you, and you don't even realize it. All right, let's go to verse 10 for a moment. And I just want you to remember, when we went through 8 and 9 there, talked about how Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these, that is, these ministers who are false, who have a form of godliness, but they deny the power of God. And you know the most important power of God they deny? is the power of the blood of Jesus Christ to wash away every single sin you have ever committed or ever will commit. Ever will commit. I mean, look at David. David went forward, slew Goliath. After that, he kills Uriah and Bathsheba, does he not? Did not the Lord wash away that sin? He washed away that sin. Was David still king of Israel? Was David still a prophet of God? Did God still give David the vision of Jesus on the cross? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Where sin aboundeth, grace aboundeth more, folks. So, now as Janies and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further. You know, they're only going to proceed no further if there's a people who are going to do what this verse says. For their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. If you remember back in Egypt, Janies and Jambres, have you ever seen the movie The Ten Commandments? This is one part where they have it a little bit okay. They got a bunch of stuff wrong. But Moses took his staff, threw it down. It turned into a serpent, right? Pharaoh's magicians did likewise. They did the same. But then Moses' serpent ate theirs. And when he picked up the tail, he was the only one with a staff anymore. And they even, the magicians, even went later and told Pharaoh, "This is of God, man. This is of God." That's for you to walk in. That's for each and every one of us to walk in. And you don't believe it, I'm going to show you something over in Joshua that's going to show you absolutely. And just because some folks think that the Old Testament is one thing, I'm going to show you in the New Testament where the exact same thing happened. So verse 10, and this is really the key here in 2 Timothy 3. "But thou," this is a letter to Timothy, "hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience." Paul's speaking of himself. Now, goes on from there, but let me go over here to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And I'm going to read to you verses 1 and 2, and then I'm going to skip down. "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." God's not going to give his good things. He's not going to make you a steward if you are not faithful. Now let's move over here, and I'm going to start at verse 15, but I want you to understand in between these verses, one of the interesting things when you read down, and I suggest you read 1 Corinthians chapter 4, you're going to find that the apostles, verse 10 says it in part, "We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise. We are weak, but ye are strong." Now look, how many times do you guys observe, say, let's take Brother Davey for a moment. How many times have you seen Davey polarize somebody, maybe even a family member, and they get angry and they leave? And you're sad to see them go. You're so sad to see them go, and you want them to still like you. And you want to be able to still go hang with them. Right? Anybody do that? Anybody have that experience? The truth is, you're supposed to do like he did. They don't need to get all the way to him before they get polarized. You ought to be doing the same thing. See, that's being salty, folks. That's being salty. If you are unwilling to stand in that, you're a lover of your own self, man. You're the problem over there in 2 Timothy chapter 3. But when you're willing to stand in that place, and it does not matter to you, because the only one whose approval you're seeking is after the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you know one day you're going to have to stand before him, and he's either going to say, "Enter in, thou good and faithful servant. Enter in to the joy of thy Lord. Or he's going to say, "Get away from me, ye worker of iniquity, for I never knew you." So let me ask you, how important is it to have any other person on this earth's approval if you don't have his on that day? And if you're not looking at that day, then what are you looking at? What are you, a lover of this life? Is this the life in which you're looking to get all the good stuff? Because if this is the life you're looking to get all the good stuff, I can tell you, you don't have to be rich. See, people think, you know, you have to be rich to be one of those ones who can't enter in. You know what I mean? You just have to want it, man. That's all it takes to be a lover of money. All you have to do is want it. You can be on welfare and want that check and want that check to increase and want those benefits to grow, and you are a lover of money. And you don't trust the one who says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness," and what will be added to you? Food and clothing. But wait a second, what about a nice house? Wasn't Brother Davey talking about that earlier? But I want a nice house. Look, if you got a house that's going to serve the Lord, you'll have a house. Don't we read about, and the church that is in your home multiple times throughout the scripture? Or is your house for me, myself, and I? You follow what I'm saying? Is it to please me with everything I want? Or is it to serve the Lord? See, when the things that you have are not your own, but are rather his, and they're there to serve him, he'll give you all sorts of things that'll help you to serve him. But if everything you've got is to please yourself, why would you think he would give you anything? Why? So over here in 1 Corinthians 4, let's go down to 15. "For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ..." Isn't that the truth? This book, that TV preacher, that guy down the street, everybody wants to tell you what to do. Isn't that how it works? Everybody's telling you what to do. They don't do it themselves, but they're sure pleased to tell you what to do, aren't they? What was it Paul was doing over there? He showed them what to do. Everything about Paul testified of Jesus. You don't believe it? We're going to see it. Watch. "For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me." So you're talking about right before you? Now let me ask you, I don't know how many people we got here, but has everybody in this place actually spent time with Brother Davey, for example, and therefore had the opportunity to see how he operates in different situations? Is there anybody who hasn't ever had that opportunity? I know the truth is every single one, even those that have seldom taken advantage of it, have had that opportunity. So whose fault is it if you don't? I mean, is it hidden? Is his life hidden in any way? Absolutely not. We all know it. But do you look and follow him? Well, let's go to another place here. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 11. Just so, you know, we have that, "By two or three witnesses shall anything be established." 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. What's it say? "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Now you know why he's telling you to follow him, because he's following Christ. He knows Christ. He's seen him. He's received the word at his mouth. He received the word by revelation, such that the greater bulk of the New Testament was written by a guy who never knew Jesus when he was walking on this earth. Has God changed? Is he not able to do the same today? Do we somehow not need Paul's today? We've all of a sudden come to this place where we just get it and we can walk it and we don't need an example? I mean, look, many people have come here from other churches. Well, why are you here? Are you here to testify about how great your old church was? Well, I learned this and I learned that. Is that why you're here? Well, then you don't belong here, because you know, as well as I know, that what they preach isn't what we preach. You just know it. There's no question. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. There's not, sadly, it's just not true. I wish it were true. I wish it were true, but it's not. So, be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now let's go see if anybody ever did this. I mean, be nice, right? I mean, sounds great. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus. Bear in mind, this is three guys, right? Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus. Unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Whoa. These three guys, first of all, in order to even testify of that, they have to know Jesus. They have to know what it means to be in Jesus Christ and in God the Father, right? And they're testifying that there was a church in a heathen land called Greece or Macedonia, where the people actually turned from their idols unto God and became one with Him. It's exactly what it's saying, folks. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So first of all, I want you to see that they became one. And remember, Paul, be ye followers of me as I also am of Christ. He was one. So you could follow him and by following him, learn to follow Christ. I remember when I first came to the Lord, everything Davey did was bass-ackwards to what I had ever done. I mean, there didn't seem to be a single thing that he did that was like I had done it. It was like nothing, zero. And I used to think I was a pretty nice guy and that I had love. I really used to think that. I thought I really did. I used to think I knew something. And I'm watching him and I'm thinking, oh my God, did I know anything? Did I know anything? Now, why would I be watching him? Because I made a commitment to the Lord that I wanted to be his minister. I remember when I accepted the Lord. Davey, after our Bible study and all the different things, I said to him, what do I do now? I mean, I'm really at a loss. I mean, I was going to go overthrow the government and do all that other stuff. So now what do I do? That doesn't seem like it's the right thing anymore. Not that I thought the government was all of a sudden right, but what do I do? I mean, I had no idea. And he asked me, what do you want to do? And I said, I want to be a minister. I want to be a servant of the Lord or a minister of Jesus Christ. It means the same thing, by the way, folks. It actually means the same thing. You can't be a minister without being a servant. So because that was my answer, God had me look at him, the one who begot me through the gospel. The pure gospel, as opposed to the corrupted gospel that people like Charlie had heard, and people like Brad had heard, and many other people had heard. That corrupted gospel, many people had heard. The difference between you and me is every time I heard it, I had like an allergic reaction and loved sneezing all over them, and they would run. So I didn't even, they didn't stick around. I used to take them by the nose and play games with them. When I heard the real gospel, it was like, jaw-dropping, are you serious? I didn't say that, but my thought was, I can't believe that. That's the truth. So when I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I wanted to serve him, and I had received that pure gospel, and I looked at this man. I spent as much time as I could with this man. And many people know it. I spent more time with him than anybody did back then. Wasn't that other people didn't have the opportunity? People had the opportunity. I just chose to seize the opportunity. God doesn't chase you down and make you want to learn. He is not going to do that. If you're waiting for God to chase you down and pour out all of his things, you will never, ever, ever, ever receive the good things of God. You got to go to him. You got to go and want that. And the fact of the matter is, unlike almost 24 years ago when I came to the Lord, you actually now have some other people around who you can follow. See, that was the situation with Paul here. Now, watch, he said, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus. You had Paul who you could follow. You had Silvanus who you could follow. You had Timotheus who you could follow. Now let's go down a little bit. And I'm going to go to verse 4. Well, I'll just read it down. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. See, this has nothing to do with God electing you. Has zero to do with God electing you. All right, people want to make it that way, but this is your election of God. In other words, you chose him. See, that's what happened with me. When I heard it, I chose him. Anybody can do that. Anybody can do that. I don't care who you are. I don't care what your background is. Anybody can choose him. That's what these Thessalonians did. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. So you don't have to wonder if it's true. They did not have to wonder if it was true. It was shown to be true. And in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Ye know us. You know how we were. We did not hide in any way. And that's all three of them now. And ye became followers of us. Wow, so it went from one guy, be ye followers of me, talking to the Corinthians. He spent 3 years in Corinth, by the way. And what's he having to tell them? Follow me. What, was I not with you long enough? These Thessalonians, he got kicked out of town. But they had seen enough. And they said, I want what he's got. Because he told me I could have it. And you became followers of us and of the Lord. Ah, see, look at that. Because Paul accepted the responsibility of being a steward of the mysteries of God and would not turn it loose for anyone. And I guarantee you, everybody continuously tried to get Paul to turn off of that course. Even Peter, in his weakness and frailty as a Jew and an apostle to the Jewish church, where he was constantly having to contend with, but Moses said, when he came out eating some pork, having some bacon, God, this stuff's good. A few guys from James show up and he's like, I better get away from this table. They might see me. Paul rebuked him to the face. It did not matter that Peter had been one of those who he had been walking with the Lord for 3 years on this earth. Did not matter at all. He did not care. He knew that God was no respecter of persons. So Paul rebuked Peter before them all. He didn't pull him aside and go, now, Peter. He just said, that's nonsense, Peter. Get back over here and sit down. And you folks from James, you're welcome to eat. If you don't, then go. I don't really care. If you want to believe that lie, go enjoy your lie. Because the truth is that we have been set free from those things. And you do not have to stand in that any longer. You do not have to. I don't care what James says. Sure, he was the Lord's brother, saw him growing up and all this other stuff. Whoop-dee-doo. Did it mean he followed him during his life? Absolutely not. Jesus had to drop down on earth again and appear to him. And he was like, oh, you mean it was the truth? I was one of those who was offended at you. Come on, Jesus, what are you doing with all those people over there? Come on over here. Remember when Mary and the brethren were standing without? He said, who is my brother? Who is my mother? And he looked around on those that believed. His natural family meant nothing. The family that mattered to him was the family in the blood of Jesus Christ. So he goes, and watch this. This is really cool. I love this part. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. So we were just singing that song, I'm trading, I want the joy of the Lord. Here it is. And he goes on, so that ye were ensamples. Whoa! Wait a second. So that ye were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. Who was ensamples? The people, the Thessalonians were ensamples. See, that's what you're to be. An ensample yourself. But you're never going to be an ensample if you wanted to be on your terms, man. You got to do it God's way. And you don't by nature know his ways. The way you learn his ways is follow somebody who does know his ways. And you mark them and you follow them. And in the process, you learn God's ways. And now you, just like Paul, go and are salty. You can withstand the Janies and Jamberses of this world. Right? So that the people can know the truth. That's what this week's about. Amen.
All right, here's a song lineup. We need to put our life on the Lord. So that means we need to build our life on him. When we build our life on him, we're going to get all excited and go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. And he's an awesome God. You with me?
On the rock, build your house. On the rock, build your house. On the rock. On the rock and it shall stand. exists and created the light. Our God is an awesome God. Judgment and wrath He poured out on Sodom. Mercy and grace He gave us at the cross. I hope that we have not too quickly forgotten that our God is an awesome God. Our God.
Are dismissed.